Can't stand another Tuesday night in? Use Slug's daily calendar to fill your social calendar for you.
Shh, are you listening?
This is Slug Soundwaves.
Hi, I'm Tom Cella, vocalist, songwriter slash dancer from Rare Factor.
And I'm David Burdick, keyboardist, synth master, everything else.
So our new album, Suspension of the Conscious Mind, was released on September 29th. You can actually download it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Bandcamp. You can purchase CDs from our website, rarefactor.com. Salt Lake has had a great tradition, you know, for electronic music, synth pop, stuff like that, over the last, like, 30 years, probably. Maybe even going back a little longer than that.
I moved here to find people to do music with. I grew up in a very musical family in the Four Corners, like Podunk, Southwest Colorado. And we visited Salt Lake a few times, and I noticed that they had a big synth scene here. Synth pop, Depeche Mode, Erasure were all on the radio all the time. So this is where I wanted to go once I graduated high school. It made sense for me.
More than 60%, maybe even much greater than that, of our fan base would be internationally located. Interestingly enough, and I have no idea where this came from or how it happened, but Bulgaria all of a sudden became like our second most listened on the heat map for Spotify in the last 90 days, which is like really random. But other countries that have been strong, Sweden has been right up there. The UK, which is where, you know, we kind of debuted, went in London a couple of years ago, has always been strong. Our support there has been great. And then South America, too. Central and South America. So Mexico City, there's a really great radio station down there called Artifactor Radio that has been playing our music for almost 2 years now.
We had an opportunity to go over to Europe. We didn't take it because, I mean, financially, it doesn't make sense yet until we can get quite a few dates.
Yeah, I mean, we've had some offers, like David said, to go play. We kind of sat down and recently thought about what it would take to do sort of a more of a like a US-type situation and maybe even end sort of in Mexico City, if it would be doable, because David has this amazing sabbatical, like a six-week sabbatical thing from his job, which is amazing, which I don't have, but I do have a lot of paid time off, so we both kind of sat down over lunch, and with David's wife present at the table, talk about, and I think I was joking at the time, saying, wouldn't it be really cool if we just went and toured and you could use your sabbatical time for it? Just joking. And his wife was all for it, which was completely unexpected, right, David?
Yeah. So when she said that, I was like, okay, let's do it. We're doing it.
It's definitely a very possible situation for us. So if we do it, I think we're going to do it and squeeze. I think we talked about, like, what, 8 cities, starting from, like, New York and crisscrossing the country and then ending up down in Mexico City. So
we're done. We're there. Probably July.
So do we find that songcrafting is more or less important when we are creating music? I would say it's the only thing that's important for us. And primarily it's because of the genre of music in which we're kind of operating, which is electronic, and there is a stigma that follows electronic music that it's just loud and you hit play and it goes fast and there's no dynamics. And so I think that's something David and I are extremely conscientious of, and that's a big reason why we try to craft our songs. One of the things lyrically and musically that I think we both really enjoy is to sort of like walk a thin line between emotions. On our new album, it's definitely there as well, which is sort of the juxtaposition between writing really depressing lyrics and then accompanying it with really happy sounding music. The lyrics are sort of how I feel or how David feels, because we write all of our music together. And the music accompanying it and the melodies, the hooks, is how we want to feel. When you write that music, it's coming from a place that's real. Every word in this album and every album we've ever written is based on reality. These are real experiences that I've gone through or that David's gone through.
In a way, I think doing the dark lyrics and the happy music, it almost lets you get away with darker lyrics. Because if the music and the lyrics are both really, really dark, it can definitely play with your emotions, like this is definitely a way for me to feel happy about life and know that I do have those feelings because I put them down onto CDs.
My most memorable rarefacture moment, it was actually probably a few weeks ago, and I remember getting a phone call from my older brother, who is not at all a fan of this kind of music. He actually called me for this reason and said, "Wow, this last song you guys wrote and the video, he's like, this is the best song you guys have written, like, to date." And that just, for some reason, meant so much to me because growing up, having these kinds of interests musically, it's not like you can walk into, like, the locker room at high school and be accepted for that, or be accepted in a lot of places, especially growing up in Utah. So hearing, you know, a family member, I think, was probably the coolest thing I've ever experienced, because it kind of meant that, wow, I'm actually doing something that somebody that might not even or even hate the stuff I do can actually appreciate it. And so that was a really cool experience for me personally.
After our last show at Diabolical, my wife turned to me and said that she's a fan. And for my wife to say that, she doesn't like synth pop music very much, that was pretty cool.
That is major, actually.
It is. A Rarefacture show looks and sounds like... Well, Tom obviously sings. He's the front man of it. I do the synths, and I have a... I'll call it an electronic xylophone that I built. It has like 15 pads on it, and I trigger sounds by hitting it. So that's mainly what you see in front of me. And then we have my brother, who's a wonderful drummer, doing live drums.
I feel like I want to interject here, though.
What?
David is really underselling this instrument that he built. David spent, I want to say, it was close to a year of his life engineering and researching and building this electronic thing. He says it's like an electronic xylophone, but it's more than that. It's crazy. I remember it almost killed him, I want to say, the madness that he experienced trying to figure that thing out and make it work. But every show we play, without fail, you have at least, what, like at least half a dozen people come up after the show or before and say, "Oh my gosh, what is that thing and how'd you build it and can I buy one?"
We do get compared to Pet Shop Boys often, I think more vocally, just because Tom sings pretty high. But other bands that influenced us, Erasure, Depeche Mode, Anything Box, for me, Gary Numan, not sure about. Do you like Gary Numan?
I love Gary Numan. I think the first time that I actually felt good about what Dave and I were doing was when someone made a comment that, like, "Man, you guys have a sound." I don't think I had ever, like, considered that up to that point. Like, do we have a sound? And I think we looked at David, and Dave was like, "I guess we do." I mean, it was really weird. So my first synthesizer was actually my older brother's. And it was when I was probably no older than 13 or 14. And my brother, you know, he went and got a job, and my mom was like, "What do you want to spend your money on?" You know. So my mom takes my brother down to the little local music shop, and someone else in our neighborhood, you know, had a synthesizer too. And I remember, like, hearing that thing, and my brother's like, "I need one," because my brother was one of those mods, right? Weren't they called mods or wavers back in the day? He had the wavy hair and all the whole situation. So he's like, "I'm gonna go get a synth." So my mom, like, "Oh, well, they're kind of expensive, you know." I mean, they weren't, like, affordable at all. I remember, like, they were probably a couple grand at least, maybe three at the time. So she takes him, you know, down to the little local shop, and he picks one out and took him to the bank, co-signed, you know, for a loan. And so he bought a synth, and I would, like, totally sneak in when he was gone, like, hang out with his friends, and I would, like, play on it, and I'm like, "Oh, man, this is so cool. I sound like Depeche Mode," right? And what I would do is I would actually sequence out old Depeche Mode tracks from, like, Speak and Spell, you know, in a broken frame. I would try to, like, get them, like, down exactly how it was sounded, you know, all the synth patterns and parts and everything. So, like, I was hooked, you know, obviously. And so when I became of age and got my own job, my mom, being the amazing mother she is, and she's super musical, always pushed us into, you know, playing piano and doing stuff like that. So I got my first synthesizer, and it was more like a music workstation at the time, but it was still cool. And I remember, like, I was just so hooked from day one, just hearing that sound, and I almost, like, felt like I was instantly, like, in a brotherhood with all those bands, like with Depeche Mode. I'm like, oh my gosh, those guys have synths. I have a synth. Like, I'm cool now. And after that, it was like, I didn't care what anyone thought about me or said about me. I'm going to grow my hair, like, just like Dave Gahan's. And David probably looked just like Martin Gore. It was just one of those things where you're just like, you're on your life path, and you know that's what it is, and that's what you want to do all the time. And then life happens, right? So, I mean, for me, that's sort of like my journey. And it's like, I have this really weird mental condition where I hear music 24/7, even when I'm asleep. It's really annoying. And I'm actually synesthetic too, so I actually can see music. And so it's really frustrating sometimes when you can't turn it off, but I think it really helps too in creating music, because like if you're always hearing music, then you can like create music.
My musical journey, my mom and dad, they were actually in a band when I was young. My dad's a drummer and my mom's a bass player. From very young, I was always around instruments and music. And then when it came time in fifth grade, we could choose an instrument, I chose saxophone. So I played alto saxophone all the way through high school and into college. I went for a performance degree in college with saxophone. So I think my first introduction to actually sort of songwriting was improvisation with jazz. So I think that's where I got a lot of my hookiness from, is from saxophone, oddly enough. But I always loved synthesizers, even before I knew what they were. I didn't know what a synthesizer was until I was about 10. And when I finally found out what it was, I was obsessed with synths. So I didn't have one until about 1993. It was also a workstation, and that's what kind of got me to drop out of college, because I was just home writing songs on my synthesizer and not going to class. And then I moved here because I knew that, well, I felt Salt Lake was the place for synthesizers, so that's why I came here.
So the track you're going to hear now is a track called Subconscious Images, which the genesis of the song goes way back, probably over 20 years. The hook to it originally came from a song I had written or tried to write with a friend from a previous project way, way, way in my adolescence. And then what the song is trying to say is, why don't you love me? It's just that whole unrequited love thing that sort of seems to permeate the music we write, but it's sort of that thing that everyone's experienced, right? When you love someone and they don't love you back. I'm So you can find our music online. Our website is www.rarefacture.com. The new album is called Suspension of the Conscious Mind. You can download it on iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Spotify. You can listen to it for free if you want to rip us off. That's cool. And then you can actually order our CDs on our website too at rarefacture.com.
Not sure what to do with your weekend? Slug Mag's digital daily calendar has you covered. Check out our Slug event picks on slugmag.com.